You have known someone who was kind of a bum. Yeah, they spent their life making poor decisions. You know, they never made anything of themselves. They never lived up to their potential. They're just kind of a bum. You know, maybe there's somebody that struggled to keep a job, keep housing. You know, we call people that. You know, you see a homeless person wandering around, or one of the many drug addicted people in our area that just kind of wander the streets aimlessly. They don't really have a purpose. They're just a bum. You know, we see people like that, and it's just kind of what we think about them. That they're a bum, a loser. Most of the time we don't really want to have anything to do with somebody like that. You know, if we see them out somewhere, we might be prone to be more cautious, make sure our hands on the door. If we see them beside the road, they might try to open the door. And we might, if they walk off a little ways, make sure we reach over and hit the lock button. You know, they're annoying too, many times, right? They want something. You've been at a gas station or somewhere, and there's always a story. Yeah, we get that all the time here at the church. There's always a story. It's always something, you know. Something's happened. It's amazing how many people travel long distances to funerals and come up the interstate and don't have enough money to pay for the gas to get to the funeral. That's happened many, many times in the 11 years that I've been here. And I think if we're honest, we're prone sometimes to kind of looking down our nose at people like that. Because we realize, I mean, so often, they're laying in a bed of their own making. They did this to themselves. Nobody did this to them. They had the same opportunities as you did or I did, and they didn't make anything with it. And many of us, we took our opportunities and we made something of ourselves. And so we naturally look at them and we're just to be honest, kind of disgusted. If we do that, that's a problem. I've been guilty of doing that. I think, could be wrong, but I think we've all been guilty of doing that. And if you haven't, good for you. That's great. We could find some other sin that you have a problem with. I'm quite sure of that. Pride may be the first one. We've done that. That's what we do. But it's not what Jesus did. What we find in the Scriptures, that there are a ton of characterizations of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. But one of the things that we come back to very often is that he did not treat people in the manner that I've just described. In fact, he did quite the opposite. J.C. Ryle, the pastor who I've just really have been enjoying so much as I've been studying Matthew, he talks about it this way. He says, it is a curious and striking fact that of all the feelings experienced by our Lord when upon the earth, there's none so often mentioned as compassion. His joy, his sorrow, his thankfulness, his anger, his wonder, his zeal are all occasionally recorded. But none of these feelings are so frequently mentioned as compassion. The Holy Spirit seems to point out to us that this was the distinguishing feature of his character and the predominant feeling of his mind when he was among men. So many things are mentioned about Jesus in the Scriptures. So many characteristics of our Lord are told to us through God's Word. but there's something about his compassion. We see it in Matthew 9:36 and 14:14 and Mark 6:34 and 8:2 and 9:22 and Luke 7:13. In the parable of the sower, where we see the son who returns and we see this image of God receiving the one who had ran away. The father, when he sees the son in the parable of the prodigal son, when he sees him far off, the Bible says he has compassion on him. Sometimes in your Bible it'll be translated as pity, but it's the same word in the Greek language. When we see Jesus and he looks at those who are far away from him, the predominant characteristic of his life is compassion. And so I want us to see that this morning. If you're able, I invite you to stand with me as we read Matthew 15:29 through the end of the chapter. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 29, the Bible says this: Jesus went out from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And he took up seven baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And after sending the crowds away, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. You may be seated. And you may be saying, Pastor, you've already preached this text. Now, I'll not promise that I don't sometimes get confused about where we are, and I'm thankful for the spreadsheet in preventing that from happening. But we've looked at a similar passage not very long ago where Jesus fed 5,000. We saw that in just the last chapter of Matthew's gospel. And there are many similarities when we look at the language between these two, but these are certainly different times. It's even possible and very likely, it's not one of those things that I think we could say completely definitively, but if we compare this story to the same one in Mark's gospel, there's really good indication that Jesus is still in a Gentile region, as he was in the text that you looked at last week when Kenny was preaching. And Jesus has traveled a long way from where he was in the district of Tyre and Sidon, and he is walking along the Sea of Galilee, but part of the shore of the Sea of Galilee was in a Gentile area. And so it's very likely, because of some indicators in this text, that Jesus is not with a Jewish audience as he was when he fed 5,000 in the last chapter, but here is with a Gentile audience, a people far from God. And this passage gives us such an insight into Jesus' compassion. We saw it in the verses right before this as he is speaking with the woman who has come to him, this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman who has come to him. And he indicates in his talking in verse 26 that this long-standing understanding of the Jews to the Gentiles was that basically they were dogs. And yet even with that, with that cultural understanding that should have separated them from one another, she gives such an amazing response to that, and saying that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. That it's sufficient even to receive that. And so we see he gives her this compassion because her daughter, as we see in verse 28, is healed instantly. But that compassion doesn't stop. It continues. In fact, as Pastor Ralph said and what I read a moment ago, it's the nature of Jesus to be compassionate toward those who are far from God. It's who Jesus is. It wasn't simply something he did on occasion. It is the nature of his character to be a compassionate God. So this morning, as we work our way through this passage, I want us to see four particular truths about Christian compassion that we see in the life of Jesus. I told you a couple of weeks ago, the three thing, we did it too many weeks in a row, so this week we have four. You knew it wasn't going to be two, but we're just thankful it's not six. Four truths of Christian compassion that we see in the life of Christ. First, we see that Christian compassion is at the heart of Jesus' gospel. Christian compassion is at the heart of Jesus' gospel. This good news through which the proclamation of we are saved, the heart of it is compassion. He is driven to go where the people are. We see that he goes from there, from the region of Tyre and Sidon where he met the Canaanite woman. He walks beside the Sea of Galilee. He goes up on the mountain and he sits down there. And the crowds come to him and they're bringing to him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put him at his feet. Jesus is already somewhere that far too few Jewish people would go. Even if we're to discount what Mark says about this particular part of Jesus' ministry and assume him back into a Jewish region to perform this miracle, the fact remains that in the previous verses, he was most certainly in a Gentile area. He was in an area that Jews would go out of their way to avoid. And yet he has compassion. And so here, when he goes up on the mountain as he's walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he sits down there, he stops. He doesn't just keep going. He doesn't just ignore what is happening. But he stops. He sits down. He sits down where they are. He sits down with them. And he begins to heal them. He heals them of their sickness. And those who are mute begin to speak. The crippled, we're told, are healthy. The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. Jesus goes to the place where people are in need. He goes to the place where people are in need and he provides for their need. He goes on from there and he has the crowd and he tells his disciples that he has compassion on them and he doesn't want them to leave. They have been with him for 3 days with nothing to eat. He can't send them away hungry. He feeds them because that is the need that they have. In all the things that he is doing, in his healing of those that are sick and feeding those who are hungry, he is sharing with them the good news of who he is. Am I going to have to do something different? Jesus
Jesus does not ignore the needs of the people around him, but rather uses his ability to fulfill those needs, to take care of those needs, to share his good news. See, Jesus knows the compassion of the people in the crowds. He knows not only this physical condition as these people come to him and they cannot speak and they cannot see and they cannot hear. They cannot walk. They've lost the use of their hands. He sees those things, but more deeply and more importantly, he recognizes that they are in a desperate way. He recognizes that they are hurting. He recognizes that they are far from God. And so in that, he has compassion on them. That is the heart of his good news, compassion on those who are far from God. Have you considered this yourself? That in his work, in Jesus' work of ministry, in his work of coming to earth to dwell among his people, it was an act of compassion, not just for those who are blind or hungry, but an act of compassion toward you because you were far from God. You were without hope. And so his good news is that he has come to you. He has come to me. And in coming to us, he has given us hope. He's given us a relationship with him. He's given us his good news. And we're a part of his family because of his compassion. So when we ourselves do not have compassion, when compassion is not a part of who we were, who we are, what we do, then we're denying the power of what Jesus did. He was compassionate toward us, but then we refuse to be compassionate toward others. That's not his intention for our life. If we are his, if we belong to him, then we have been called to then be compassionate toward those who are far from God. Be compassionate to other people that we see hurting. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. We were far from God, and he showed us compassion. And if we're going to have his heart, if we're going to live like he lived, then we have compassion on others. Christian compassion is at the heart of Jesus' gospel work. The second thing that we see is that Christian compassion seeks the good of those far from God. Go back to verse 30. What do we see? He healed them. The crowds bring the lame and the blind and the crippled and the mute and many others and put them at his feet. And what? He heals them. That was for their good. We go into verse 32. He sees that all of these people have been with him 3 days now with nothing to eat. And he says, I can't send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. What does he recognize? This is a practical thing, right? They've been with him for 3 days. Obviously, they had some provisions. Nobody was sitting there not eating for 3 days. They've been there for a while. But now they've come a long way. They don't have the supplies to go back to where they came from. And Jesus is concerned if we send them on their way hungry, they might faint on their way. What is he concerned about? Their good. I think too often when we see people who are far from God, we are concerned about how they got where they are. And we understand that very often change is about doing things differently than you did before. But the reality is that the change that ultimately comes from God, the change that is brought about in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, It only comes through the Holy Spirit. It's not about what we have done. It's not about all the steps that we take and all the programs that we get in and all the things that we work on. It's about what God has done. But so often we define people by their sin, and we define people based on how they got to where they are. Well, they made a lot of bad decisions in their life. That's why they're living like they are. Well, if they hadn't done this, things would have been differently for them. If they'd made better decisions, if they'd had better parenting, if they'd grew up in a different environment, that would have changed who they are. But what Jesus does is he looks out for people for their good. He looks out for what is good for the person to whom he is showing compassion. Not who they were and not how they got to where they are, but what is good for them going forward. What is good for them into the future. What is good for their life. That is what Christian compassion seeks. It seeks the good of those who are far from God. He meets their needs. He sees what their need is, and he says, how can we do the most good for them? How can I do what is good for them? Someone is blind, giving them their sight. I saw a video online recently of a young lady who was deaf. And she looked to be maybe in her early teenage years, and she had had some type of procedure, and the video was of her hearing for the first time. And so they turned on the device that she had, and she could hear. And the doctor that was talking to her was talking to her about fine-tuning these things. You know, I think she could read lips, and so she was talking about, you know, does it need to be louder or softer? How does that need to work? What needs to be different there? But the little girl was overcome with the emotion of the fact that she was hearing things for the first time. Why? Because when you do good to someone on that level, that is life transforming. Everything will be different about that young lady's life now than it was before. And when we seek to do Christian good, when we seek to show Christian compassion to people, our goal is that we would do good to them, good for them, so that they would know Christ and that their life would be different going forward. The things behind are not what are important. The reasons that they got to where they are not the important thing. Doesn't mean they won't have to make changes. It doesn't mean things won't have to change. But friends, God is who changes people. And he brings about the ultimate change in life. What Jesus sought was the good for those who are far from God. And ultimately we understand his seeking good was so that they would know him. And everything that he did, and every person that he healed, and every message that he preached, and every person that he fed, his goal was that they would know his heavenly Father. And that's the goal of us doing good. But Christian compassion is that we seek that good. And we take whatever steps it takes. When someone is hungry, when someone is broken, we seek their good. And we do so because that's what Christ sought for us. So here in every situation, whether it was someone who needed healing or someone who was hungry, Jesus sought their good. The third thing that we see is that Christian compassion points toward the work and nature of Jesus. Christian compassion points toward the work and nature of Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to be clear on this, the work and nature of Jesus. When we show compassion on someone or to someone, we have compassion for someone, Our goal in doing so is to show that Jesus does this type of work. That's why we do it. And that we do it because of Jesus' nature. This is who Jesus was. This is who Jesus is. There are plenty of people in the world who have compassion upon people just because it's a built-in human trait. How do we know this? Well, you don't see these as much as you used to, but when I was a kid, you would see commercials about feeding children in other places in the world who are hungry. And very often you would have the narrator, and they would be with all of these children who were clearly malnourished. And they would talk to you in the commercial about how you could help. Like how for, you know, $1 a day, you know, for less than the cup of cup of coffee a week, you can, you know, help a child who is hungry. And the images that you saw on the screen did one of two things. They either tugged at your heart or they showed that you're kind of a jerk. I'm not sure there's any other. Now, I'm not saying like you all called and made donations, but I'm saying you felt something because you saw people who were hurting, and especially in this case, children who were starving. And you felt something that compelled you. Now again, maybe it didn't compel you enough to pick up the phone. Maybe you helped through some other way. But there was something there. Why? Because there's something about most people that there's a desire to give some compassion. But now Christian compassion is different. Because the object of Christian compassion is not to make ourselves feel good, but it's to honor Jesus. The goal of Christian compassion is not simply, I see someone who is hurting. It is that. But it's also, I see someone who is hurting, and I realize they're made in God's image like I am. And Jesus has showed me compassion. So I want to show them compassion. So what does this look like here? What does Jesus do? His compassion is part of his nature. So what happens? He tells the disciples to come to him. He says he wants to feed them. He doesn't want them to be hungry. And then what takes place? Well, we don't have enough food, the disciples say. We heard this before. Remember last chapter, they didn't have enough food. Here, we don't have enough food. Well, how much do you have? 7 loaves and a few small fish. And so Jesus does what? He takes the 7 loaves and he breaks them and he gives them to the disciples. And like I mentioned in the last chapter, if we take this today and start doing this, nothing's going to happen, right? We're all going to get maybe a small piece. If we have a very small amount of food in relationship to our group, it's not as if we're all going to leave here satisfied. They leave satisfied. We wouldn't leave satisfied. But Jesus begins to break the bread and tear the fish, and everyone is full. Why? Because he has the power to do that. He has the power to take what is insignificant and make it significant. That is his power and authority. It's his nature. He's able to do that. So they all eat, we read in verse 37. Not some of the people. There are thousands of people there. There's at least 4,000 men there besides women and children. So this number will be multiplied greatly. Maybe 10,000 people there eating. And they all eat and they're satisfied. Now, maybe not to the whole crowd, because they may have not all seen what was happening. But to the disciples, it clearly showed Jesus' power. It clearly showed his power that he could take these 7 loaves and a few fish and feed everybody. So friends, when we show compassion, the compassion is not how powerful we are. Our compassion is shown to other people because we have been changed radically by the power of Jesus. And our compassion should point then to Jesus and who he is and how powerful he is and the work that he's done. It's not really Christian compassion to not point people toward Jesus. Because I can promise you that when you go out of this place, you're going to meet all kinds of different people, and they're going to have all types of different needs. We see that even in these few verses. People that are mute, people that are blind, people that are crippled, people that are hungry. We meet all kinds of different people. But what did they all ultimately need? They needed Jesus. They ultimately needed a relationship with him. They ultimately needed to have a relationship with God. Yeah, they had these physical needs, but here's the reality. These people that ate and were satisfied here at the end of this chapter, they got hungry again. The people that were crippled and could not walk, yes, they got up and they walked. But ultimately, at some point, their legs still failed them. Those that were blind could see, and they left seeing and no doubt rejoicing. The people are excited when they see what Jesus has done. They wondered at it. They saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They glorify God out of it. But one day their eyes closed and never opened again. One day they heard their last word. They spoke their last word. Their ultimate need was not what they encountered that day with Jesus healing them, but what Jesus came to offer them. And so when we have compassion on others, we need to understand that Jesus' compassion was a part of his nature, and our compassion then becomes part of our nature in making sure that we tell others about him. That in our compassion, we're not simply helping someone with a temporary or temporal need, but rather we are ensuring that they hear the good news of what Jesus has done. This compassion that we have points toward Jesus, who he is, and what he did. And then fourth, Christian compassion brings glory to God. Christian compassion brings glory to God. Look back in verse 31. The crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking and the crippled healthy, the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. It's one of the reasons why I think this was probably Gentile people, because it says there they glorified the God of Israel. Here were people that worshiped other gods, and they see this man who comes from God, the God of Israel. He comes from him in his name, and he is able to do these mighty things, and so they glorify God. They glorify him. If we look in verse 37, they eat and they're all satisfied. They took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces. His power here brings glory to God. How is it? Again, maybe the whole crowd didn't see this, but the disciples knew it. And if you're in the crowd, wouldn't you be a little bit suspicious? Like you see Jesus sitting here, and he's got his guys around him, and they're just standing there in the middle of everybody, and all of a sudden they start bringing all of this food directly from Jesus. It's like, where did he have that hidden at? The disciples knew, though. They knew that there was 7 loaves and only a few fish, and yet here, thousands of people ate and were satisfied. That brings glory to God by seeing the power of Christ. So when he shows compassion to the crowd in the first few verses, they give glory to God, and then his power here demonstrates his majesty and his might of who he is. Remember, it won't be many verses into chapter 16 where Jesus will ask the disciples, I know who everybody else says I am, but who do you think I am? Remember, they've witnessed miracle after miracle. They witnessed 5,000 fed and then 4,000 fed. They witnessed people being healed. Peter answers in chapter 16 and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Something amazing had happened in the life of the disciples. They had seen Jesus' compassion. Peter had felt it. Remember when he got out of the boat? Jesus is walking on the water. Peter comes walking out too. And then he starts looking around and he begins to sink. And what does Jesus do? He reaches out his hand. He pulls him out of the water. Again, on display, the amazing, phenomenal compassion of Christ. Friends, when we show compassion, we should show compassion in such a way as to bring glory to God. I think this is because I'm a sinner and Jesus wasn't. You know, sometimes compassion is frustrating. You ever found that to be the case? Maybe not. Maybe you're more sanctified than I am. That's cool. It's annoying to be compassionate to people that thumb their nose at it. You're compassionate to people and they stab you in the back. That stinks, right? You're compassionate to people and then you find out later they were just taking advantage of you. The thing with compassion is it's not about us. See, the problem is if you see the commercial on TV with the starving kid and you send your money in and you find out later that their CEO makes, you know, $1 million a year off of your donations and you find out only like 30% of the money gets to kids or something like that. Like that, just angers you. But it angers you because it was unjust, it was wrong. But sometimes our compassion, the response we get to our compassion angers us because we were doing it for us. Because it made us feel good. Because we could brag about it. We could pat ourselves on the back. We could find other people to pat us on the back. We could get a trophy or a plaque or a reward or something for our generosity and being compassionate. See, Christian compassion is about glorifying God. It's about glorifying the one who made us and the one who's been compassionate toward us. See, we think about glorifying God. We think about putting God in his rightful place, giving him the honor, the worship, proclaiming his majesty, all the things that he deserves and so much more. That's glorifying God. And when we are compassionate toward people in the way that Christ was compassionate toward people, then we are glorifying God with our actions. Does that mean there are going to be people you're compassionate toward that didn't need it? Sure. People that are jerks about it, no doubt. People that don't appreciate what you've done, the sacrifice you made for them. But how often do we not really appreciate the sacrifice that Christ made for us? How often do we just take it for granted? How often do we fail to give Him proper respect and thanksgiving for what He's done for us? We shouldn't be surprised then when others do not give us the glory and honor we think we need when we're compassionate toward them, because we do not do it to the one who made us. The purpose is not that we would receive something. The purpose is that we would give Christ all the glory and honor for what He has done for us as we show compassion on those who are far from God. See, the heart of our Lord is one of compassion. It's who Jesus is. Think about the person that I described at the beginning of the message. Their failures, their sin, their mistakes. Now realize that is exactly who you were before an Almighty God. Calling you a bum before God was about the nicest way that could be described. We were sinners, wretched sinners, in need of a Savior. And Christ, in His compassion, though we were far off, He drew near to us. And He calls us then as His children to show compassion to those who are far from Him. See, compassion is who Jesus is, and it's what Jesus offers. So there's two questions for you this morning. One, have you ever received His compassion? Because if not, if you've never received the compassion of Christ, He calls upon you this morning to come and follow Him, to turn from your sin and believe this good news that He came, a compassionate God came, and He offered His life in your place. And if you've never received His compassion this morning, today's the day to call out to Him and say, "Compassionate Lord, would You save me?" But there's a second question, and it's probably more applicable to most of you than the first. If you've received His compassion, if He has saved you and transformed your heart, does your heart reflect His compassion? Does this heart that we see in these verses at the end of chapter 15, do they look like your heart? Do you have the patience to go and sit among the people that are far from God and offer them what you have? Are you willing to give up the things that you have so that people who don't know Jesus would know Him? The first would hear of Him, but would know Him and follow Him and experience the life change that you have been given in Christ. Our Savior's heart is a heart of compassion. Does our heart look like His heart? Ask yourself that this morning. Truly ask yourself, does my heart reflect the heart of Christ? The reality is it's often a struggle for us, but it is certainly the calling that we have been given, that we would have the heart of compassion that points toward Christ and glorifies His name. Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you that you love and care for us, that you are compassionate toward us. God, we pray this morning. We pray that we would have a heart of compassion. We pray that our character would reflect your character. That when we see people who are hurting, who are struggling, we see people who are far from you, that our heart's desire would be to take your good news, a gospel of compassion, that God, we would take it to those far off. We would seek the good of those who do not know you. We would seek to make your name known. God, help our hearts to reflect your goodness and grace and compassion. And God, let it begin this morning, that God would do a work in us so that we would know you more and follow you faithfully. God, thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. We pray this morning in the precious name of Christ. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing this song, and as we do, would you respond to God's word? Maybe this morning you've never experienced the compassion of Christ. Would you come during this time? Let me share with you about how great the compassion of God is. Maybe you know that your heart is just not compassionate. That's not who you are. I want to tell you this morning, if you're in Christ, He desires that your heart would be one of compassion. So maybe this morning you need to come and pray. You need to come to this altar and pray, God, just help me. Help me to be compassionate toward those who are far from you. Help that be my heart. Help me to see people the way you see people. Whatever God is speaking to you through His word this morning, you respond in obedience as we sing this song.